This is Will's Band of the Week for January 5th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Craig from the Ipswich Bureau.
Here I am.
And Jeremiah, president of the Santa Fe Bureau, coming to us from an undisclosed remote location.
Hey, good morning, everybody, or evening, or whatever time it is for you.
We don't...
Happy almost 2020.
We have no idea where Jeremiah is, except that where he is, it's... Is it 5:30 or 6:30 in the morning?
5:30 a.m. Yep. So I'm trying to wash the sleep out of my eyes. And we're all going to have fun. And what else do we need? Did you guys in the other top 10 say happy Hanukkah and happy Kwanzaa and Christmas and winter solstice? And
maybe to varying degrees. Yeah, probably.
Right? Don't forget winter solstice. Can't leave out the pagan listeners, right?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it's 5:30 a.m. where you are. It's 4:30 p.m. where I am, and it's 10:30 p.m. where Craig is. So we basically have the entire world covered, I would say. You think so?
Yeah, not bad.
We're kind of equidistant, almost. It's pretty close, yeah, this time.
That's pretty good. I think Jeremiah deserves the dedication award for this one. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Craig's up late, so he's well, I guess at least it's a Friday night, right? It's not a weeknight for you, so that's good. So
everyone's off work. It's that between Christmas and New Year period where the country's at its finest. People are just relaxed, and obviously some people go to work, but most people don't.
Kind of that way around here too. Yeah. I worked today and was pretty dead. Wasn't a lot of activity. So and the traffic to and from work was pretty light too. So, all right, here we are. So yes. I think this podcast is going to go up in it might be the first one of January. That's what it's looking like right now. So we're recording this in 2019, but it will be 2020 when this is released. That's pretty exciting. So we're spanning two decades also. Although I think Craig thinks decade...
Happy 2020.
Craig, don't you argue that the decade starts in 2021?
That's kind of my belief, but I don't argue it because it's indefensible and no one would agree with me.
I'm glad you recognize that.
I've already started to put together my top 10 of the decade list because I don't want to get left behind, and I've got some strong picks.
Yeah, I think I've got mine pretty much nailed down. I haven't picked the tracks, but I think the albums are very, very close to where their final positions will be. Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Wow, impressive. Yeah, I need to work on that.
Yeah, I've had a lot of fun doing it. Like once every few days, I'll go back and look at it and just admire my list. Just because I love it so much. Wow, is that ever great? Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, gosh.
All right, we have...
sounds great.
We've got two more top 10s.
Let's get rolling.
Yeah,
we got a year to talk about.
This is fantastic. Jeremiah, you're going to start us off with your number 10 pick for 2019.
Oh my gosh, this was so hard. Was this hard for you guys? I needed like the top 15 or the top 20 or something.
Yeah, I had some in the like 11 to 14 range, and it was kind of difficult. So if you want to, you can list your not quite made the list albums.
Yeah, should we do that now or at the end?
It doesn't
be better.
It's up to you.
Because now it's a spoiler if we say it now. Right?
That's true. Okay, you want to save it?
It might be like a buzzkill.
Yeah, let's save it. I think we did it at the beginning on a couple other people's lists, so let's save it to the end. That'll be fun. So what did make it to number 10?
Boy, just, this was kind of a late arrival for me or a late discovery. It's, I think, a four-piece band from London called Puma Rosa. And... I don't know. I like percussion heavy music. So it's, you know, it's like that. It's a little bit electronic. I've heard it even described as kind of like spiritual industrial almost. So it has that kind of, you know, driving rhythm in the background, but then the singer, she's, her voice and sometimes the way she sings reminds me so much of like Kate Bush, which is really interesting. And that's not the only reason I like her voice, but, it is, I just kind of kept falling back into that, that comparison. I just kind of started to this fall really kind of fall in love with this album. So, the track I picked was, number one, Fall Apart.
Puma Rosa, Jeremiah's number 10. The album is called Devastation. Yeah, very percussion based.
Yeah, so yeah, definitely. And not all of it is totally like that, but the majority of it is. And it's really appreciate that kind of background of electronics and kind of that kind of fun part. This always kind of interests me as well. And then the heavy percussion. And then some songs are more mellow and where she really sounds a lot more to me like Kate Bush and kind of fits more of that kind of thematic sound and almost like, you know, not quite like Way's Blood, but that, you know, there's somehow Way's Blood kind of reminds me a little bit of Kate Bush too, just that real thematic or kind of orchestral kind of almost like movie score sounds, but this one I could kind of hold on to a little more because of the percussion, I think. So
this has been a year of quite a few Kate Bush references. There have been one or two other bands that I've heard people say, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think her influence is being felt this year. All right.
There you go.
Good start. Craig, what's number 10?
Yeah, it's not sounding good, Jeremiah. Thanks for that. Good pick there. No, I'm immediately under pressure. Coming in at number 10, well, this isn't an album at all. I get the feeling from some of the pre-production comments that someone else may have pulled this trick, combining the two dry cleaning EPs into one kind of album.
Yes.
And the second one of these came out and everyone said, oh, this is even better than the first one. But then people forget how much they like the first one, really. I think if they're honest, they're probably just equally as good as each other. They're both good. Let's just admit that and move on. My favorite song of the year, I always say this, but probably of any year, but then it could easily change. But this is definitely one of my favorite songs of this year. And it's Magic of Megan from the Dry Cleaning EP, Sweet Princess. There we go.
With Megan.
dry cleaning. So, yes, I did not pull the EP trick, but I have to say that's high caliber. You know, if that's number 10, you must have some pretty good stuff coming up.
Yeah, though I said, I suppose I had to explain a little bit. I said it was my favorite song, but then, I don't know, I don't like all of them the same amount. I think that song is outstandingly their best thing, and then I just like the EPs a little bit, and there are other things which are more consistent. So Dry Cleaning sitting there at 10, maybe they could release a proper album in the future, and then they might find themselves higher. I'm just joking, obviously.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right, Jeremiah, we're now to the single digits. Jeremiah's number 9.
The pressure's on with that pick. I tell you, that was on my short list as well. But then I would have to push the two EPs together to try to make an album, I guess. I loved both of those. So thanks for picking that. I thought that maybe someone would pick it, so maybe that was another reason it didn't quite make it on there. But yeah, those were both great. Let's see. So number 9 for me is it's a posthumous release by Arthur Russell. This album is called Iowa Dream, and I kind of stumbled onto Arthur Russell. I think in like 2014 there was a tribute or a mixtape, not a mixtape, but group of covers of his music by other artists, by Sweet John Stevens and Hot Chip and different bands. I think raising money for HIV awareness or HIV education or something. And I just kind of, that it kind of opened up a whole rabbit hole. So I don't know if people know much about him, but he was kind of a trained cellist in the early 70s, went to San Francisco and then to New York and became like a producer and on some different disco and dance albums. But his music is much more kind of folksy, most of it. They've been releasing a lot of posthumous music in the last 10, 15 years. He died in, I think, 92, I think, or 3 or something. And this one, yeah, I like most of the stuff that has been coming out, and there's actually been some really good posthumous stuff this year, even. I mean, the Leonard Cohen album almost made it on my list as well. So anyway, this is Arthur Russell, Iowa Dream. I picked number 4, You Did It Yourself. Arthur Russell. So one of the fun things about doing these lists is people come up with stuff that I've never heard before. And this guy, I just looked it up. He was born in 1951 and died at the age of 40 in 1992. So, that's what a cool undiscovered thing. Yeah, he's a pretty interesting guy. I mean, he worked with, he went out to San Francisco and then studied like classical Indian music. He was a trained cellist already from Iowa, so that's kind of unusual maybe to start with. And then started working with Allen Ginsberg. You know, he'd play like music while Allen like read his poetry, and worked with some Indian, really kind of famous Indian, you know, classical Indian musicians, and then went to New York and became kind of a disco producer. So it was kind of a interesting journey that he had. But he's also been cited, you know, as an influence by different people, by like Dev Hynes and James Murphy and different people like that. So yeah, and he had a couple little other side project, Dinosaur L and Indian Ocean, some other bands that have some interesting stuff. So yeah, hopefully people dig that.
Yeah, great. All right, Craig, number nine.
Here we go. Well, after that, from left field, here's a podcast favorite. I think it's fair to say coming in number nine here, Hand Habits and the album Placeholder. And I'm going to bet at least one of the people who've gone before me have had this.
It's on mine.
Somewhere in the top.
Yep.
There we go.
Yep.
yeah,
it was on my short list, yeah.
Yeah, just not a band I've really, a great favorite of mine, but sometimes you just get to listening to things. And for some reason this year, sort of the quieter music with a female lead vocal has kind of appealed to me more than it has in other years. Maybe it was just a good year for that kind of music, or maybe my mind opened to that kind of thing, but more than usual. But for whatever reason, I like this quite a bit. And I've picked track 9, What's the Use?
Hand Habits. Yep, I'm not arguing with that one at all. Placeholder is the album.
I am paid to agree with Will, but
right, yeah.
You know, we keep up the pretense that that's not the case.
Yeah, there's a lot of it's pretty tough behind the scenes. I mean, it gets pretty heated sometimes. Yeah, second album I believe from Hand Habits, and hopefully there will be more. I think they're doing a lot of touring. Stuff. It seems like they've been doing a lot of touring and. So hopefully just still kind of on the rise. So very good. Okay. We are now up to number 8 for Jeremiah.
8 already. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Thank you for that, Craig. Oh my gosh. That was another on my short list. I saw, just kind of reminded me too, that I think like when I see people live, like I was never really like Hand Habits and something too much on my radar until I happened to go to a show. And it's like, she's really amazing guitarist. And she can really kind of connect with the audience, and so yeah, that was right up there too. Nice one, Craig. Thank you.
Yeah, that's been a theme of the discussions. I think quite a bit is the influence when you see somebody live. There was only one example that I gave where the live performance actually made it go down, move down on my list. But most of them, you know, you see them, and if they're, you know, obviously, if you like them, they move up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting that way because it's true. Like sometimes I'll, you know, hear an album that I kind of like and connect with right at first, and then I see them live and then wonder, it's like, well, is that just an off night, or I was in a weird mood or what was going on. I think that for me, that happened with Girlpool this year.
With
other bands. What's that?
That's interesting because I was talking about a different, it happened to me with Jay Somm, but Girlpool also is absolutely an example where their live performance, it did not live up to their album really quite, right? Yeah.
For me, it was that. And I don't want to put that necessarily on them because maybe I was in a weird mood or something, or they were tired or something. I mean, Santa Fe's high elevation, so a lot of times people that play there are a little bit off kilter.
They're out of breath.
7,000 feet. Yes. They're kind of like, they don't understand why they feel crappy.
That should happen in Denver,
not sure
too,
what's
though.
What's going on?
Right, Denver would be about the same.
We're 2,000 feet higher than Denver. So.
About 7,000? Is that? Yeah, I remember I ran a 5K in Santa Fe once, and it was actually up in the hills, up at a school. It was like at like 9,000 feet, and I'm like, I am breathing very hard. If I was playing a rock show,
I wonder if it was at St. John's College, maybe.
It was at a middle school benefit or something, some really small thing. Way back in about like 1995 or something. So, but I was going to say,
that's kind of right when I first came to town. So
we didn't know each other yet, did we? No, we were like 20 some years from knowing each other. No, I was going to say, if I was playing a rock show at altitude, I would still give 100%. I would rock the crowd completely. I'm just going to declare that.
Exactly. And many people do. So that's not a total excuse.
All right. Number eight.
But then it's like some fans, you see them, like it was like with Waze Blood, like that almost, maybe this is a spoiler alert, that almost made it to my list. But when I first heard the album, I did not really like it. Like it was really hard for me to connect with that album. And then then I saw her live and I was really impressed. I was like, whoa. Or that also the first time I saw Angel Olsen, same thing. Like it's like, oh, it's kind of folksy, kind of, it was before her two albums back or three albums back, you know, and mm-hmm. I was kind of like, oh yeah, I don't know. And then seeing her live was like, oh my God, like this is amazing. You know, so it can really make a difference. And just people, their just stage presence can really influence how I hear their music, I think, or how I appreciate it, I guess. So.
It's a good argument for going to see a band if you're kind of lukewarm on them, you're not sure you should go, right?
Definitely. Oh, yeah. Live music, best. Way better than the albums.
Okay, number eight, Jeremiah.
So this one was a little bit of a late one, too. It kind of grew on me over the year. Just kind of amazing. I think this is really amazing album by this young performer, Nilufer Yanya, from London. Her album, Miss Universe, I really just kind of grew on me. And she's just kind of, to me, there's so many kind of amazing young artists right now. I guess there always have been. but especially for me, the last couple of years was really impressed by kind of the maturity of some of the music that's been coming out by young, especially women, it seems like, but also young men as well. So I really liked this album, and I picked number two, In Your Head.
It's all in my head, it's all in my head. Now
That's Nilufer Yanya, the album Miss Universe. Jeremiah is now 3 for 3 on introducing us to things we've never heard. At least I haven't. Craig, have you ever heard any of his picks so far?
I've heard of 2 of them, but never heard any of them. Any of the music. So
yeah. So
very cool. It makes me look, I don't know, like something. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
This is actually a really popular album, and that was almost, for me, it was a little like, oh god, do I really want to put this on my list, because it was so kind of mainstream pop, but it's not really, you know, I feel like, you know, it's not really pop, it's, I don't know what she is, I just think like she's got this really strong voice that's like, I don't want to call it like masculine almost, but it's a deeper voice and that I really like, and just comes up with some really amazing kind of sounds and hooks, and I just like it, so hopefully other people will too.
Cool. All right, Craig's number 8. This is one of those nobody else had it on their list, and I'm thinking we're gonna depend on Craig to have this one. Since he's personal friends, you know, that's, you got to have him on there, right?
Yeah, I don't need too much introduction or description of the music or in-depth analysis here. I'll just say I've ridden in a van with this band.
Right.
So, come on. This is Grim Streaker from Brooklyn with the No Vision record. And it's just fun. There's nothing more to say. Let's just have a little sampling here. It's just quick, short, snappy, fun, good chord changes. Track 8, Sensitive Demon.
Grim Streaker, No Vision, Craig's number 8. I didn't get to ride in that van.
Nice one, Craig.
Yeah.
Right, I know. Oh, my God.
I didn't see oxygen
with these people.
He got the ride in the van, and then we were standing there watching Native Son, and then Craig says to me, the woman standing in front of us is the singer for Grim Streaker. And I'm like, so I was like a little bit of indie rock stardom, but I didn't get to see them. So, you know, they probably would have moved up for me, too, if I had seen them. You were pretty impressed with their live performance, right, Craig?
Yeah, she's a really good front woman, and good band behind her as well. Yeah, good rocking band. I think when I go to South by Southwest in March, I'm going to be looking out for these. Of course, some of the bands we know that we already like and stuff, but looking out particularly for these unofficial backyard parties happening a bit away from downtown. That's where I saw Grim Streaker and the Wants playing this year. And there's just 15 people there, and burgers for $1, beers for $1 out of a cool box thing.
That's pretty fun. Yeah, cool.
Definitely.
Okay.
Nice pick. Yeah, that's like one of those, it's so funny how like just certain albums kind of grab you and some don't. Like I listened to that album once and I really liked it, and then for some reason I don't think I listened to it again. but it's great. Yeah, I like it. Thank you, Craig.
There's a lot of competition for what to listen to. We listen to so much music, right?
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, even, yeah, with this top 10 list, it's like, there's actually, I was realizing, like, not a ton of music that I've listened to the album all the way through over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a little bit tough. You go back and you're like, oh, yeah, I like those four songs or something. And then you kind of listen to the whole album. You're like, well, does that whole album compare to this other whole album?
Right.
It takes a while. It's a little hard, yeah, to kind of sort through that. So. So then what kind of comes back on the, you know, repeat more than other things, I guess, is what you kind of call out. So what are we up to? Number seven?
Yes.
So we're doing. Okay. So I can't remember. I think this came out maybe in June or July. Ada Lee, she's from Montreal, and I think she's on Saddle Creek Records. And I think her real name is Alexandra Levy or something like that. I just really, I don't know. I this was new music on a Friday, and that weekend I did a lot of hiking and kind of listened to it two or three times through and kind of fell into it. So, I really liked it, and it's really kind of, it's got some catchy stuff in it, but also, some really kind of quirky things and electronic stuff. And so it kind of goes between that and just straight ahead, kind of like hooky rock. And kind of, you have to almost listen to the songs all the way through, because they really, a lot of them don't really start rocking out or jamming too much until two thirds of the way in or something. My number seven is Ada Lee, and I picked number four, track four, For Real, Not Pretend.
So you want it then? Alone now, you wanna speak less. Somehow, you want your bed to yourself now. You wanna breathe. Well, go ahead now. You wanna take the step.
Ada Lee, the album is called What We Say in Private. And Jeremiah had to pick something from Montreal. You know, it's just like, think of you as the Montreal guy.
Funny, there wasn't a whole lot that like came out this year really from Montreal. Pottery was kind of up there, but a lot of the stuff was from last year too. But and even like that song that we played, like that's very not poppy or hooky at all, but then it goes right into that, like in the next like 20 or 30 seconds, like something that just like solidifies, okay, this is getting a little weird or it's a little out there and discordant, and then it just like hooks you with something that's like, you know, really strong, like guitars and I think that, you know, I recommend this album, people check it out and give it a little time. I think it'll grow on you. So I like it. Ada Lee.
All right. That's number seven. So now it's time for Craig's number seven.
Here we are. This is what we would call in the UK, and that's after all where they're from, a Marmite band, because you either love them or you hate them. Or in other words, they just divide opinion anyway. You don't have to feel strongly either way.
Yeah, I think we call that polarizing.
Yeah, definitely. This is just, so exciting and different. And I was chatting with Barrett during the course of the year about, I don't know what's on Barrett's list, but he just said, I'm done with kind of garage rock bands for a bit. I'm just looking for something a little bit more different. And this band fits very nicely. It's Black Midi. It's not really like a lot of other things. It seems to go in all kinds of different directions. And the album is Schlagenheim. They're from London. They make a lot of noise. And then, as I said, it's quite discordant and random at times as well. And I think track one, 953, is such a mission statement. Just encapsulates everything that they're about. And I can't believe there are many better debut album first tracks than this in the history of recorded music. So we'll just listen to a bit of that maybe.
Black Midi. It's sort of a combination of punk and progressive rock, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I talked about them being polarizing, but then I'm the one who falls right in the middle, where I really love their drumming and guitar work and all the instrumental stuff, and I'm just not sure I can completely buy into the way he sings. It's just so bizarre, you know? Yeah, but cool thing. I mean, just really fun thing for the year, though, for sure.
Yeah, I just think, even despite those vocals, it just deserves... I just wanted to mark it by putting it on my list, because it's just, you know, just different and fun in a way. So there we go.
Okay.
Yeah, that was in my top 15 for sure, and that was going to be my track pick as well. So nice one, Craig. Yeah, they're just the drummer. Oh, my goodness. Is he just like... ridiculous. I wish I wasn't paying a little more attention at South By, because it was like I just met up with you guys and we were all kind of talking, and I didn't really kind of get pushed my way up front and kind of see, like, really watch them or give them enough attention, I think.
Yeah, they were kind of they were the backdrop to our kind of getting all together for the first time there. So
right, exactly.
That's kind of cool, though, too, right?
Kind of like, what's that?
We'll be talking about that in, you know, 10 years, you know, the backdrop of Black MIDI when we all met each other for the first time. Yeah. Pretty cool. Well,
that was fun. Yeah.
Should we move on to Jeremiah's number six?
Yeah, number six. Well, Purple Mountains. This album, it really, it's, you know, the first and last album, I guess, of Purple Mountains. That David Berman left us this year, and so many of the songs are just kind of like crushingly sad, but also somehow like really kind of positive, or kind of a lot of time. It's interesting. The more I listen to it, the more I'd see really kind of positive things too, and also just being appreciative of what I have, or what, you know, what's great in life as well, you know, that it's like, wow, you can really you know, see things in different lights. And so, and really it's just the way he puts together these songs. And I was really, I never really listened to Silver Jews much or anything, but just the more I listen to this, the more it's like, okay, if I was going to pick kind of a, you know, almost like alt country rock song and put it together, like some of these are like the best, you know, that I've heard in a long time. You know, I used to listen to a lot more of this type of music, and that he's really talented, and I wish I would have kind of paid more attention when he was around more. So, but anyway, thank you so much, David Berman, for this album. And I really, yeah, just a lot of them on it are great. And the lyrics are just ridiculous. Some of them are completely sad, and then some are just completely actually funny. Like there's a lot of funny stuff on this album too, which I really took me a while to kind of find. So, but I'll pick track 5, Margaritas at the Mall.
Purple Mountains. Yeah, that is so great. And it was on a lot of end of year lists that I've read. And not just because he died, obviously, it would have been on just about all those lists, even if he hadn't died. But it kind of went the other way for me, I have to say, because it was just so sad listening to it. You know, I think it rivals the Nick Cave album, you know, only, you know, sad for different reasons. But, you know, I like listening to a lot of sad music, but sometimes it's just so sad that it's just sort of, I think I'll move on to something a little happier. But yeah, that's quite a great work of art for sure.
Yeah, definitely. No, I hear what you're saying, and like definitely would make me emotional almost every time I listen to it. But just even just looking, you know, or listening to just how the songs are put together, and it's pretty. He's a very talented guy. So,
yep.
So anyway, yeah, that'll remind us of the importance of things, I guess.
Yep. All right. Now, Craig is going to take us back to something that it's another thing. Like, you got to rely on Craig to put this on the list. And he came through.
Here we go. Yeah, I enjoyed listening to that pick from Jeremiah. I don't know. He's providing interesting stuff, and I'm just here to make up the numbers with my podcast favorites.
Yeah, we had one of our other podcasts where that was a recurring theme of one person being kind of, you know, unpredictable, and the other person saying, "I'm so predictable compared to this other person." So yeah, it can go either way. I wouldn't say you're predictable, but it's like I think mine was one of the most predictable. But anyway, I'm going to say this is a good pick, and the listeners will be happy.
Here we go. I said last time Comet Game released a record a few years ago, I said, if Comet Game release a record, it's on my top 10. And it just does, it depends how consistent it is, how good it is, how high it goes. It could be 10, it could be 9. In this case, it's 6, just outside the top 5 where everyone wants to be.
Yeah.
This is Fire Raiders Forever. We talked about it when it came out.
Yep.
It's good, but better than I feared it might be. Yeah, that's fair enough. And well, this is a good one. There's so many good picks. The male vocal, male-female harmonies and good stomping rock and roll. I've picked one of the more quiet ones, track 7, Your Life on Your Knees.
When I was kicked out of the house, I walked through snow, cursing everybody that I know. Ended up with pointless blood on my hands, a Burger King crown after drinking 8 cans. My sisters hate me and I guess I know why. I'm making all the fucking up my life. 4 a.m. in an alleyway crying, wishing I was loved by someone, but hated and feared by everyone. Everyone, I fucked up so many, many times. My teenage years were just drugs and petty crimes. I got a son and I miss him to bits. I hope he grows up and doesn't do this. I follow the morning to the wishing well. I drop all my burdens and swim to my shell. Break me like a bottle, you can spill my light. But I just wanna go home. No angry echoes to fill my bones. Just take me home. And I don't wanna live my life. My life.
Comet Gain. Yeah, and you saw them in a record store with like 25 people too, right, Greg?
Yeah, something that was, I think it's the only show they've played since releasing the record. You know, it shows they're winding down, they're coming to the end. I'm just glad they did that one. It was, yeah, that was better than expected too. Well, yeah. Better than feared is a kind of a very Comet Gain way of describing you expect the worst and sometimes it's pleasantly surprising.
That's just so great. Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of my favorite bands.
All right.
Yeah, thanks for introducing me to them. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate that.
Yeah, they don't get a whole
lot
of
fun.
They don't get that much publicity here, right? In the U.S.
Not at all. Yeah. No, I'd never heard of them before. Craig enlightened me. So thank you.
Well, Craig should bring them over for a massive U.S. tour. Right?
Yeah. Indie rock. I could be their manager.
Right. Okay, we're up to the upper half now. So that's another very significant stage of the podcast where it's like, these better be good now, right?
Yeah, pressure's on.
Yeah, pressure's on. Oh my gosh, yeah. I'm really sweating.
I got to say, they're looking really good.
Oh, good. Yeah. So, boy, I did kind of struggled with trying to like put these in which order and then try not to be influenced like, oh, I know this one's probably going to be on several Will's band top tens, like should I include it but anyway, this one's probably maybe more predictable, I guess, but we just want to make sure that everyone's awake midstream in this podcast,
right?
So,
yeah, if they're falling asleep, yeah, we'll wake
this
them up
will
now
wake you up. and I saw, so my number 5 is Cherry Glazer, Stuffed and Ready, and saw them a couple times this year, and the last time they played just in one of our parks in Santa Fe for free, and it was a great show. It kind of rained before the show, and so a lot of people kind of had left, and so there was like 40 of us or something, and they just rocked it out, and you know, lots of actually young kind of teens there, and she was so sweet after the show and kind of like talked to everyone, and it was, yeah, it was just very impressive, just super straight ahead, rock your socks off, and Cherry Glazer, Stuffed and Ready, and just start off with track 1, Ohio.
One, two, three, four.
Yeah, I think that would wake the people up. That was practically pegging the meters of my audio program. So that's called rockin'. Yeah, Chris had this really high on his list, and every time I hear a song from this, I say to myself, maybe I should have had this ranked somewhere. It just kind of got lost in the shuffle for me, but I really liked it. So very cool.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, just for, you know, garage punk rock band, it was a rock album. It was, you know, it hit all those spots for me. So yeah, it was just a good kind of rockin' album, and then saw it a couple times, so it kind of solidified things. I'm excited if they come out with something new next year, hopefully, or in a couple years. So she's an amazing guitarist too. That's what I was really impressed by too, just seeing them live the second time. Really, I was right up front, just got to watch her play guitar, and that was really cool. So so hopefully people enjoyed that.
Cherry Glazer. Craig, what's number five?
The bottom of the top five. This is another symptom of me listening to the, well, it's not a quiet album, but what I described to earlier as quieter female-fronted music, which is unusual for me. For some reason, I just got into it. And this is Wasteblood, who I had never listened to before this year. And I just, maybe the album was getting good reviews, or maybe someone on the podcast mentioned it. I think Chris and David may be fans. I'm not too sure. But anyway, I started listening to it and thought, this is just great. Almost ridiculously, stupendously good. I couldn't believe how good it is. The album is Titanic Rising, and it's pretty difficult to pick because the songs are quite long, 4, 5, 6 minutes, and you don't really get, it's difficult to find a track that's going to be to reflect the whole thing. But anyway, I just picked track 4, Something to Believe. Hopefully that gives us a good sample.
Drank a lot of coffee today, got lost in the fray, I gave all I had for a time. Then by some strange design, I got a case of the empties, the ruler of my world. A lost, forgotten pearl, when fire leaves a
Yep, that's Wise Blood, Craig's number 5. And Jeremiah, you were saying the live performance kind of sold you on her.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, hearing, like, to me, it's so kind of 70s sounding. And
yeah.
And the, and even like, and that's a big thing coming back right now. So that's, you know, like she sings also on, I think, that Drug Dealer album, which is completely kind of 70s rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I saw her live. It's like, wow, yeah, this is pretty amazing. I don't know why it didn't kind of click before that. And then, and that was, I saw her at home, and then I was traveling, and, she was playing in Lisbon, and I was like, I hadn't bought tickets because I was like, oh, I don't know if I should go or not, you know, till I saw her live the other time. And then I went, and of course it was sold out. So, but yeah, so her name is getting around, and, yeah, thank you for including that, Craig, because it was on my short list as well. And great album, I think. And it's really, it's a little, I think for me, it's still a little bit maybe too kind of, I guess it reminds me a little bit too much of like a soundtrack or something sometimes. Mm. And so that's why sometimes it doesn't quite I'm not sure. Not that that's bad necessarily, but I guess. But for some reason, it still didn't quite make it on the list. But I think it's a great album. That's for sure. So thank you for including that.
It's funny when you get a point of reference. So that did happen to me a little bit with this album. Somebody said it sounded like Enya. Remember Enya? And then I'm like, okay, I guess I don't really want to listen to this. But then I think Barrett was talking about it, and some Chris or maybe David were talking about how great it was. So then I went back to it. Then I got kind of halfway back. Like, I really like about half of it. And I think if I saw her live, I'd probably, you know, it'd be bumped higher too. So very, very cool, interesting artist. And I'm glad Craig has it on his list. It's the second or third appearance in the top tens. So very good.
Right. I was thinking that's probably what on what Barrett's list, probably, you think? What, Barrett and Chris, you think? Or
it's on Barrett and it David? Might be on both of theirs. It's definitely on Barrett's.
Right. Yeah,
I can't remember. It might be on might be on Onorog's list. Let's see. I'm looking at Onorog's list. No, it did not make
all the good, all the good guys.
I misspoke.
Right, Waze Blood and like death metal. Right.
Right. Did not make Onorog's list.
Did not.
No, Onorog's list is so great. I'm looking at it right now. It's like, I love.
It would be like Aldous Harding probably, and then like some. Death metal.
Yeah, there's a band called Oozing Wound. So you gotta listen to that, man. You guys have something to look forward to when you hear that. It's great. Okay. All right. We're up to Jeremiah's number four.
Yeah. So now I'm getting predictable.
This has made an appearance already, and I'm trying to remember who had it on their list. But tell us about it.
Well, yeah, I'd be surprised if it didn't, because this was really, you know, kind of heralded as a great album, which I think it is.
It's on David's list.
It was almost okay. David's okay. Yeah. And I almost was like, oh, it was played so much on the radio and different, you know, just kind of was out there so much this year that it was almost repellent to put it on the list. But it's amazing. Yeah. And, I just like it so much better, I think, than her other stuff too. I mean, her other stuff's great, but it's way more like folksy. And when she kind of really came into the more, the kind of more rock realm, you know, of course it's another Congleton produced kind of knockout, you know, he did Angel Olsen's as well, this year. But, my number four is Sharon Van Etten, Remind Me Tomorrow. And, hopefully no one picked this track. I picked one that's not played too much. Number two, No One's Easy to Love.
Sharon Van Etten. And we also had some previous discussion about her live performances, which I have not seen. I think David said he saw a video of a live performance and it was incredible. And so she's pretty well known for being a very good live performer. Did you get a chance to see her at all, Jeremiah?
No, I haven't. I've just watched a couple things, like, you know, Tiny Desk Concert and a couple things. But yeah, I'm sure she would be great live. And so she has so much emotion in her voice, too, in some of the songs. So yeah, I just think that this is a great album. And I listened to it quite a bit, actually. Sometimes just hearing the kind of more hits kind of on the radio. But I think the whole album, when you listen through, it's like really great. And she's just, yeah, I really enjoyed it. So hopefully you did too.
She's an indie rock
was
veteran.
Was it on your list at all? Or no, it wasn't on your list.
Nope. I think David's list might be the only one so far. So,
really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
But I was going to say indie rock veteran, right? I think she's got that status now. Getting close,
definitely.
Anyway.
And I like this one the best because it's like, it's a little more rocking than the other one. So,
all right.
It's good.
Let's go to Craig's number four.
Here we go. This is the first of two Antipodeans in my list and also in the top four from Australia. I have to have something from Australia in the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
How could I not? Possible Humans. Now, where did it... What happened here? Yes, my friend Simon, who's... we were living in Sheffield together at university. He lives in Bristol now. And he said, oh, you should check out this band. And then somehow we got... I recommended them to be on the podcast. And we talk about them and then I listened to it for that. I liked it a lot. And I've been listening to it for months now. This is the album Everybody Split, and it's just so good. I think when we talked about it before, I just said they haven't really decided what kind of band they want to be. It's lots of different, not an amazing range of styles or anything, but not every song sounds quite as if it's by the same band yet. And I find this very exciting. It's kind of raw, like the best debut albums are, unpolished a little bit, and just has great songs, as you know, ultimately. And the first three or four tracks are all so good, but I went a little bit deeper to play one I don't think I got around to playing last time, which was which is a really cool name. Track 6, Orbiting Luigi.
Possible Humans. Yeah, it's a fun one. I think I thought that it sounded like a, you know, one of the Australian bands, you know, jangle pop bands that, you know, we always listen to, combined with a little bit of Guided by Voices. Like, it's a little bit of that, like, pop, power pop thing thrown in there. And you're right, it was, it's been a few months since I listened to it, but I remember thinking the same thing, that they were kind of going in different directions, and it was cool. So, really fun band. You know, to us, those Australian bands seem kind of exotic, but to Nicholas, it's just guys coming over hanging out in the backyard, having a beer, digging for guitar picks in the backyard and stuff. You know, just the normal everyday things to him. It's all a matter of perspective, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think they sound like a little bit like the Flying Nun bands from New Zealand. There's the clean and the chills in there. But then
yeah,
people who listen to the podcast may know that I have a soft spot for the classic rock. And there's definitely something of like, such as Boston, Toto, Foreigner, Rainbow, Steppenwolf. There's something of that in here as well. Because, you know, younger bands, they're so young they wouldn't realize how shit all that music is, how uncool it is. And so it's probably it's ironic for them to like it, like the same as I do. And stuff. Anyway, good combination of Flying Nun and classic rock, Possible Humans.
It's a sign of our difference in age that you're too young to know how uncool Toto is. I love it.
Well, they're pretty cool.
I
now,
love it. You know? Yeah, now it's like the yacht rock thing coming back, right? I know. Oh man,
we're washing the dishes on Christmas Day after lunch, and we put on "Hold the Line." It's so brilliant. Oh,
there's so many terrible things though, like 99 and Africa, and oh my god, oh. And I don't know, something
Africa's
about
Africa's back. That's a big one right now.
Yeah, I know. There's something about Hold the Line that it has this power rock guitar, but then it's mixed with keyboards, and I always thought the keyboard just waters it down. If you want to make a power rock song, then make one like Judas Priest, you know?
Yeah.
But when you put that guitar in there and you water it down with keyboards, then I'm like, no, can't do that. It's an impermissible combination. All right, that's enough Toto debate. And now this is really exciting because we're now at number 3 for Jeremiah, which is, this one won't be very controversial, I got to say. It's, yeah.
Yeah, I almost was like, oh, it almost had a hit against it just because I knew it was going to be on most people's list. But, oh, and actually, I thank you for having the first real quick going back. Thank you for having some Australian music. I was like, oh wow, I don't have any Australian music on my list, but actually I do.
That's actually coming up. Yeah, a little preview.
We got to make sure, we got to represent the marsupials, so appreciate that. Thanks, Craig. So 3, yes, this one is not going to be a big surprise, but oh my goodness, it was such a great album, and it just goes from, I mean, the slow songs are amazing. The fast songs are just smacky in the face, and seeing them live was great. So Fontaine's DC, Doggerel, I these kind of tried to keep it not maybe number one. I don't know. Maybe that was a subconscious choice, but and hopefully no one else picked number 5, Hurricane Laughter.
No, nobody else picked that. It's got kind of a long intro, so maybe we ought to fade it in around a minute. What do you think?
Sure. Yeah, whatever you think. Go for it.
All right, here we go.
I will tell to the waste while you are fresh from the confession. The angry streets, they twisted up and billowed with the laughter. Anyway, I thought you burned the rags in some kind of primal fear. Now the night is blue and red, and they're tearing down the plaster. Hurricane laughter. Hurricane laughter. Tearing down the plaster, hurricane laughter. Hurricane laughter. Tearing down the plaster. And there is no connection available. And there is no connection available. And there is no connection available. There is no connection available. So to the hills we fled, while the evidence was wham.
Yes, Fontaine's DC already having made several appearances on the Will's Band top 10 lists. I can't remember whether that was the song where they blew out the bass amp. Craig, you were there too. I don't know if we can remember what song. It seems like that would be a song where you could blow out the bass amp, though, right?
Is it how long was it? The best 8-minute gig of all time or something?
I think it was 12. Yeah.
12 minutes, yeah. I forget the exact. It was short and brilliant.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Good stuff. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That album's ridiculous.
Yep.
I'm sure that made a lot of people's lists, I would imagine.
Yes, it did.
I'm so excited to listen to everyone's top 10 now.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil everything for you guys. So, yeah, you just got to go back and listen. It's fun stuff. There's a little bit of debate about it.
Yeah, no, it's fun to hear if stuff's on or off. But, yeah, I just knew that you guys would all influence me way too much. So I just had to not allow that to happen.
Yeah, you got
to
maintain your independence. Totally. Yeah. All right, let's go to Craig's number 3, which has made, I believe, 2 appearances already.
Here we go.
Yep.
This is Aldous Harding from New Zealand, the album Designer. Yeah, not exactly a left field pick here, but well, I have a little story again. You know, she has been getting loads of press and critical acclaim, and I was flying over to the States for a trip and listened to this for the first... I already bought a ticket to see her in Williamsburg. And I thought, well, I better listen to this, see what I'm actually going to see. Listen to the album on the plane, which is not the best way to experience music, really. I thought, oh, sounds fine. But then the show just was so amazing that it really... you guys have already been talking a bit on this podcast about how that could just change your opinion completely. And I thought, well, this is just an amazing artist. And then I've listened to the album so much since then. And she's just... great, you know, kind of slightly a little bit strange, I suppose, or ethereal or enigmatic. Great stage presence, great voice, which is 2 or 3 different vocal styles. Great songwriter and a good band. So all adds up to a number 3 album. And track 9, Pilot, is my favorite. Harding. Yes, she was also on Anurag's list, and I think he said that the Tiny Desk concert that she did, he thought was fantastic, which I didn't see, and I didn't see her live either, so that's why she didn't vault into the top 10. Definitely a good album, though. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, that was another one that was just barely off the list. Yeah, she's amazing. I just think so much... I don't know what it is, just so much emotion in her voice or something. It's very, a lot of the music is very simple, but I think me and Anurag reviewed that album this year, and it's just, it's really amazing. Just something, I'm sure if I would have saw her live, it would have pushed it onto the top 10, because there's something just even just in the recorded album, you hear so much of that. Just something, I don't know what it is really, just the it's like emotion or intensity or
it's the star quality really. I don't know how you can describe it, just some people have it.
Yeah, exactly, just that presence, but just comes out in her voice as well. So
we have that as a podcast pick, don't you think? You know, as a podcast, when people hear us, they're just like, you know, some people have it and some people don't, and these guys definitely have it. Right, I think that's what people think.
Well, you do, Will. I don't know about me. yeah, I hope so. Hopefully, you know, I hope that people, you know, appreciate that, you know, just new music and fun music. I mean, what would life be without music, right?
Yeah, I think we're
thank the universe for music.
We're pretty much in agreement on that. Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. Number two. It's really serious when you get to number two. As I mentioned this earlier, but
so serious, it's hard to choose.
Yeah, the way I said this earlier is number two has to be so good that it took a single album to be able to beat it out. I mean, think about that, right?
Yeah, now I really feel stressed out.
So,
but no, it's hard because even just the top five to me kept kind of almost shifting around. It's like, oh, is this really like that much better than it?
Yeah,
so I don't know. I tried to just at the end just take the pressure off and be like, all right, this is what it is. So,
yep.
Because they're just there's so much good music out. It's really just the top even like 10 almost. It's really could shift around for me. So, So for me, number two, I picked Julia Jacklin, "Crushing," which is she's my Australian pick, I guess, that I didn't realize that before. But and again, this was kind of influenced again by seeing her live. Her album, the first couple listens through, was like, oh, this is good. This, you know, she's got some. Again, kind of similar to Aldous Harding, like this very, you know, she talks about really important things and kind of almost like, you know, just very difficult things. And she can just carry that weight in her voice. And she also has like her voice sometimes kind of wavers almost, which makes it almost more kind of authentic sounding. And to me, kind of very mesmerizing, and almost sometimes it kind of, when I saw her live, it was like, you know, almost like reminded me of like Patsy Cline or something, like that kind of wavering kind of sound, but somehow it sounds amazing, even though it's not perfect kind of, or not, you know, whatever, musically perfect sounding. So, yeah, she was amazing to see and really witty and smart and insightful. And I really loved this album the more I heard it. And it's really more kind of folky and country than I would normally be going the last few years. But this one just really caught me. I picked number four, Don't Know How to Keep Loving You.
There's nothing left to find. Don't know how to
That's Julia Jacklin from Sydney, Australia, just up the road from Nicholas. Just a few minute bike ride from Melbourne.
Right, or down the road, right? I can't remember, up or down. I think it's down.
I think it's, isn't it northeast to go from Melbourne to Sydney? If that's in my head, it's northeast. So I might have embarrassed myself.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, and I already told the story about missing Julia Jacklin, like almost seeing her live in Toronto. But I didn't, and therefore she didn't crack my top 10. So we'll have to try another year.
Yeah, it was an amazing show. I'm trying to remember how... Oh, yeah, Black Belt Eagle Scout opened, and I actually missed most of her set, but yeah, mesmerizing. I was just like kind of stood there awestruck the whole show, and with a band, like just a hired band, like because she couldn't afford to bring a whole band from Australia, you know?
Oh, that's interesting.
So playing small clubs, and so she just had like a band that maybe she had knew them from before, but she said it was like their third time playing together or something, and it was amazing. You know, I was like, oh my god, I can't believe this. And anyway, there's just a lot of emotion in that album, and I think that she's very talented and someone to watch in the future.
Very good. I think that's the third appearance by Julia Jacklin. Because
really?
you picked a track that somebody else picked, and then you picked another track that somebody else picked. So you guys are all you're all in sync on the top tracks from the album. So
the other two I was going to pick just because they're a little more rockin', you know. So she has some slow songs like this and that are really just packed with emotion. Like, I mean, what's that song about? It's like, you know, after you kind of get through the honeymoon period in a relationship and how do you keep loving someone after you've kind of, that shine has kind of worn off, you know, once you've gotten to know someone well enough that you start finding out all their different faults or yourself too. So, good stuff. Makes you think.
Very good. Craig, number two, making their first appearance in this year's top 10. But a band, you definitely spoke highly of this band, so I can't say I'm surprised. Fun
this
band.
This is the best album from Brooklyn of 2019 that reveals that the number one is not from Brooklyn. Oh, dear. I've given away. Never mind.
Yeah.
This is Patio and Essentials. What can you say? It's just a little bit angular, quite short and sharp again, good indie rock. It struck a chord with me, and this song has one of the best intros to any song I've ever heard. This is track two, Endgame.
Patio.
Yeah, and you think I can't possibly sustain that for a whole album, but they do with it. To me, it's very consistent, interesting throughout, and you know, something like 30 minutes or something. So the kind of thing I like.
Yeah, punchy and catchy and, yeah, fun stuff for sure. Patio. Well,
another good one. I'm just going to sound like a broken record and be Craig again.
We don't do bad picks, right?
So much. Oh my God.
We don't do
so much music I discovered this year from Craig. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, great stuff. But now we have to hear Jeremiah's number one.
Drum roll.
Maybe we should do the drum roll. I discovered the last podcast that we still have this. That's Nicholas's drum roll.
That's awesome. Piped in all the way.
Yeah, see if you can live up to the standard of that.
Right. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I know. We got to, like, it's, like, better than Black MIDI there. I tell you. So this one just kind of stuck with me. You know, it's funny. It doesn't have, like, any real big, like, you know, bangers or kind of, you know, big kind of guitar hooks or anything that I can find too much, but it just kind of, yeah, she kind of just stuck with me. We saw her at South by Southwest and saw her again in New York, and that was a real kind of small and intimate show, which was kind of surprising. It was her first show in New York, and it was really amazing. So yeah, this one just, you know, Sasami's, you know, self-titled album was just really was kind of part of my soundtrack for 2019. So I picked track 3, Morning Comes.
Sasami, Jeremiah's number one from 2019. I remember when we saw her, it was about, this might not be totally accurate, but it was about halfway through her set. She just went wild on the guitar, right? She had a song where she just like started soloing and just going nuts, and it was great. Like, she's a really good guitar player, and her album is diverse and interesting and not always predictable, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's not super, you know, straight ahead, catchy. It took a while for me to kind of get into it, but I really enjoy it. And she's just another incredibly talented woman, you know. That's like, I think she's what, trained violinist or something, and then she was actually played. I think she was a keyboard player for Trey Glazer. Right?
Yeah.
Wasn't it? I think so. And then Yeah, and then she went out on her own, and she's an amazing guitarist and songwriter. So, yeah, I really, for some reason, this album just kind of kept kind of coming up for me as kind of defining my 2019. So, yeah, I highly recommend it and really am excited about future Sasami projects. So it was good.
That's great. So there's another band connection. Before we get to Craig's number one, I discovered another band connection that I didn't realize about, I don't know, a year or two ago. I listened to an album that I really liked by a band called Fantastic Furniture. Do you guys ever hear of that band? And it's spelled wrong.
From
it's,
you, if anything.
Yeah, it's spelled weird. Well, it turns out that the leader of that band is Julia Jacklin. I never even realized it. So,
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
That's
yeah,
so
I didn't.
Funny.
I didn't. Yeah, it's a July 2018 release. So check that out.
The last time I saw Trey Glazer too, I was wearing a Sasami T-shirt, and I was like, "Oh God, is this gonna like if she sees this?" Because I was like right up front, and I was like, I said, there was only like 40 people there. I'm like, "Oh, is this gonna like piss her off, or is this gonna she's gonna be like, yeah, nice shirt?" I was like, "Oh God, I can't believe I'm wearing this shirt." And then, and actually, I don't. You know, it's funny. It's the Sasami Salami shirt, which I actually liked the graphics of her other shirt better. But I was, of course, like the oldest, ugliest man, human in the audience at the Sasami show. And the other shirt had a really cool graphic, but it was like, it said, "I'm horny for Sasami." And I'm like, yeah.
No, you can't wear that. No.
Yeah,
no.
Really?
No.
Sold by like a 19-year-old woman. You know, I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to buy that one. So I'm going to just buy the one with the least or the graphics that I like less, but just not maybe look so creepy. So anyway, so either Cherry Glazer, what's her name? Clementine. She was either upset and didn't say anything or didn't notice. So probably didn't notice.
We hope she didn't notice. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Another in a long line of awkward interactions between aging rockers like us and young band members.
Right, yeah, and she didn't flip me off either when I threw like the 150 business cards on stage. Between that and the t-shirt, yeah. I was surprised she didn't kick me in the head or something.
Okay, Craig, it's time. Number one.
Is it time already?
Yeah.
My number one. This is Neutrals from San Francisco. And who do I thank for this? Well, we just thank Barrett because he's a good guy. But I think that's where I heard. Yeah, I think Barrett recommended it for us to listen to when we were recording 1 week.
Yeah, I think so.
Kebab Disco.
Yep.
Now this, although they're from San Francisco, the singer is certainly previously of Scotland. And so you have that great accent. The lyrics are very funny. Just made me laugh a lot. And good catchy stuff. Don't know how to describe it really. But, you know, like Patio and Aldous Harding, they were kind of all fighting it out for this 1, 2, and 3. And then just on the day I put the list together, I thought this was the correct order. But in truth, I like them all about the same. But Neutrals get to say they were my number one. So I hope that makes them happy.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
I've picked track 4, Technical College.
After the summer, are you getting a job or did you get into college? Sarah's taking a post at her daddy's company, getting some experience before university. She's coming back from squatting in Holland, says that anarchy's great, you don't pay for anything. And he's up at the art school painting pictures of waterways, moving to Italy one of these days. Sandy and Ned are in Pennsylvania, been there 6 months on expired visas. I phone them up from the box on the corner. I get free calls with a stolen number. We could get jobs, we could save for the future, or we could go to the technical college. Let's go to the technical college. Get things on the Xerox machine. We'll live on a streaming van. Got noodles, chips and beans. After the summer, what are you doing after the summer?
Neutrals. Some great punchy stuff, right?
Yeah, that just makes me laugh. I was laughing to myself then, trying not to interrupt the music. And,
yeah.
Good.
If you combine that punchy, angular thing with some humor, it is irresistible to Craig. It'll just
it'll
snag him. Yep.
Winning combination.
Yep.
Yeah, another thank you, Craig. That's how fun. Oh my god, just like all of the stuff. I mean, like, we didn't have anything overlapping, did we? Like, that was really
no, and it's
like, you just
and if you listen
so much goodness and funness for me just to dive back into later today.
I think if you listen to all of, you know, the people's lists on our various podcasts, I really think there's so much great stuff and really less overlap than I thought there would be in just a great way. Just so much great stuff. So really cool, really fun.
Yeah, the thing I take from it is, you know, someone, even so there's 5 or 6 picks the same, but lots of stuff different among the different correspondents and someone who you have something in common with and someone who you trust likes this thing a lot. And so it's, you know, probably worth listening to. And it might be something that you'll like a lot. And so it's just so much good music to try out. It's incredible.
Yep. Great. Another great year. And by the time people hear this, we'll be into 2020 and we'll be, you know, obviously starting to make our lists for 2020 already, probably. Right. Something good might come out in January.
Yeah, I already know a few things. It's the last year of Donald Trump, 2020.
Oh man!
Oh yeah. God!
We'll find out. I'm afraid. We're really afraid it might not be.
No, I don't think it will be. But we hope it will.
Yeah. Mm. You didn't have to bring that up.
Sorry. I'm jump out of my hotel window.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot, you guys.
To that Purple Mountain.
Yeah. Right. it's been great, you guys. Really fun. Thanks, and we'll have you on many times in 2020. Work on those decade lists because we haven't figured out the format really yet. We've got some ideas, so yeah, we'll see. All good.
Yeah. Excited. Thank you so much. Yeah. Happy 2020 and. Thanks for introducing me to a bunch of new music, everybody, on the podcast. And thanks to all the listeners out there. That's really, we appreciate it. And all the feedback that we get from everyone is awesome. And actually, today I need to really thank my family for tiptoeing around the hotel room all morning.
Boy, that's amazing. So, yeah, that's pretty
right?
nice.
I know. Yeah. And it was really, yeah, they're sweet.
So. They're probably pretty entertained by listening to all of your insightful remarks, though, too.
Probably less than you could imagine. Yeah, and especially you're only hearing one side of the conversation, so you just hear like random.
Yeah,
your dad just kind of blurting out stupid things. So
yeah, dad rock boomer. They can't say boomer to you though. You're not quite old enough to be a boomer. Okay, let's get out of here.
Yeah, okay, thanks everybody. Thank you, Craig. I appreciate it.
Cheers, Jeremiah. Great to do this with you. Thanks a lot.
All right, we'll talk to everybody again next week in some form or another with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.